Amen. Good morning, church. Amen. That's true. There is that's a doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine, by the way, the biblical law of change. And you know what? I'll say this about that is, as a Christian, you're supposed to change. You're not supposed to stay the same. You're supposed to grow. That's called change. Amen. That's true, right? Amen. We're supposed to grow. That's what Sunday school is about. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and we'll go through some more of this here. And we got a chance to go out last night and do a little street preaching like we do every Saturday night. I didn't get a chance to go down to the Firefly. But apparently, I don't know if you heard about it, but they found some bones in the woods, apparently left over from last year at Firefly. One of the campers found a pile of bones, and apparently they've been laying in the woods for at least a year, the authorities are saying. They're all rotten now. There's just a pile of bones. A picture showed guys in a duffel bag carrying a pile of bones out. Now, how does that happen? How does somebody go out and party and drink and nobody miss them? The guy crawls up in the woods and dies, and all the birds eat him and the worms eat him, and he's a pile of bones. That's what this world does to you. Yeah. It'll kill you. Yeah. Nobody cares. That's a great illustration, preacher. That's a great illustration that's what the world does. It just, nobody cares about you. And you just end up following the music, following the drugs, following the sex, following. And guess what? The end thereof are the ways of death. And there it is, pile of bones. They don't know if it's a man or a woman. Not because it's the average confused, you know what, nowadays, because it's just a pile of bones. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's a shame. That's a shame. Look what the Bible says. We go to Romans. I think I'll pick it up around verse 15. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear." And I'll stop there. That's a reference to the Old Testament. And turn your Bibles to the Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and look at verse 13. Fear. The law in the Old Testament, boy, it brought on some fear. Now, don't get me wrong. You're supposed to fear God now. But we have Jesus Christ. The Bible says he's what? He's our advocate with the Father. You know what that means? He's like our lawyer. He's our big brother. He's our lawyer. We love him. He shed his blood for us, so we don't have to fear him. The Bible says, as a matter of fact, you should come boldly before the throne of grace. We have that access through the Father. The fear of the middle wall partition has been brought down. The fear of God, not that we don't fear God, but we have an advocate, Jesus Christ. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. By the way, if you're studying your Bible or listening to Christian radio, they always say this. They say in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to the cross. No, they were not. They have no clue because the cross came and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, died. They rejected him and they didn't see it. So that's a farce. That's fake. They didn't look forward to the cross. You know what they had to do? They had to keep the commandments, right, and fear God. And if they died in their sin without having a physical blood sacrifice, they went to hell, straight to hell like a bullet. Aren't you glad we don't live in those days? I'm glad. Think about that. Every thought that you ever had, you got to have a blood atonement for each one of those filthy thoughts. You know, that's bloody. That's a mess. Look what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon's writing, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man." Not in this age it's not, but in that age it was. That's a different time period. They call that a dispensation. In the Old Testament, you had to keep the commandments, every single one. Don't pick up sticks, or else you'll end up getting stoned. I'm not saying sticking something in your mouth. I'm saying getting hit in the head with a rock. So the Bible says, thank God we're under the age of grace.
Amen.
I appreciate that. So that's what that means in verse 15, back to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Again, to fear. But ye, right, brethren, saints, Christians, have received, hopefully you have, the spirit of adoption. Thank God for that.
Yep.
Thank God for that. The spirit of adoptions, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. Now, if you're saved and trying to have a relationship, by the way, the word relationship is not even in the Bible. It's not. It's not even there. If you're trying to serve the Lord, you cry out to him like Abba, Father. You know that's a Jewish term. It's Aramaic, actually. And you know what it means? It means salvation is of the Jews. That's what it means. Now, turn your Bibles over to Mark chapter 14 for a good example of the Lord Jesus Christ using this term, Abba, Father. Mark chapter 14. Look down at verse 36. I feel the same way. Mark chapter 36. I'm sorry, chapter 14. Go to verse 34. Now, this is the account of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. I've got some couple messages on this. This is some good stuff. He's in agony, right? God, the man, is in agony because of what he has to do. He knows what's coming. He's about to take your sin on his back is what's going on. And he does that for you. So you think about that when you read the account of the crucifixion, is all the stuff that you're going through and all the stuff you've done in the past and in the future, he took that on his back and became sin for you. And God turned his back on him. Why? Because he carried the sin of the world. Look at the Bible, and he's getting ready to go through that here in Mark chapter 14, verse 35. And he saith unto them, my soul, Jesus Christ said this, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, but they couldn't do it. They kept falling asleep. And that's what the devil does. He'll close your eyes, and he won't allow you to watch or follow the Lord. Verse 35, and he went forward a little, and he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might not pass from him. Now, he knew that that's the humanity of Jesus Christ. He knew it wasn't possible because you know what? He wasn't going to allow it to be possible. He had a mission, and thank God that he followed it, and he went through with it. In verse 36, and he said, what? Abba, Father, he cried out to God in agony. Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Here it is. Nevertheless. Thank God for that right there. Nevertheless. You know what he say? He says, not my way, your way, Father. Happy Father's Day. You ought to be saying that to God. No, that's what Abba, Father means. No. Happy Father's Day. Not my way, your way, Lord. No. Happy Father's Day. Every day should be Father's Day.
Yep.
Abba, Father, happy Father's Day. Not your way, not Burger King, not your way. Average Christian lives that way. Everything's about them, 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 them. And I've been through this. I know I'm beating a dead horse, but good morning. You need to hear it again anyway. So I won't waste a whole lot of time. But it should be Abba, Father, okay? That's what it should be. That's the Bible way. Amen. The spirit of adoption. God legally proclaims you to be his child. That's what adoption is. It's a legal proceeding. Isn't that a blessing? Legally, you are what? Not under the law anymore, Galatians 3. Legally, you're not bound to the law. Jesus Christ is a schoolmaster, and he brings us out from underneath of the curse of the law into a period of grace.
Yeah.
But most Christians take that grace, and they run with it, and they do whatever the heck they want to do, yeah. Whenever, however. Grace, 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 grace.
Yeah.
Baloney.
Amen.
Baloney.
Yeah.
Okay? Amen is right. Spirit of adoption. It's a blessing. You're his child because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now look at this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. I'm not going to get into a long thing on Israel, but you are basically, God sees you just like spiritually, like he sees Israel. The Bible says this, we're grafted in, we're adopted in, and God has a soft spot for Israel. Don't let anybody take that away from you. Now I know the Bible says that they are enemies of God for the gospel's sake. That's right. But you should love them collectively as a nation, respect them as God's chosen people, but they're not above you because you're a Christian and they're not. They're lost. They're an enemy of God. This isn't anti-Semitic. I'm telling you the truth. This is Bible. You should love them and go out of your way to try to win them to the Lord. And I've done that in the past. I've tried, but they'll spit like 3 to 5 times every time they hear the name of Jesus Christ. They'll spit. That's they're cursing the Savior. But what can you do? You just keep on trying. Abba, Father. Look what it says. Let's see where we at here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. I want to show you this verse in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. At that time, you were what? Without Christ, being aliens. You see, everybody's not just born a Christian. It's not your good works outweighing your bad works and all this baloney that you hear the lost people say that. When you're without Christ, you're an alien. What's an alien? You're from an outer space. You're so weird, you're 10 foot tall, you're green, you got big eyes, and you stink, right? It's an alien. That's what you were from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. And here it is. I preach this on the street all the time. Having no hope and without God in the world. They don't like that. Without hope. That's what you were. The Bible puts you in remembrance of a lot of things a lot of times. You know why? Because you forget. You get in your little bubble, you get in your little cloud, and thank God for this church. I love Sundays. I'm focused on the Lord, and I think about the Lord. And in between church, you can ask my wife, I'll watch videos of other people preaching. It's my day to think about the Lord. It's a blessing. But you should remember, there was a time in your life that you were without hope. You were an alien, you were a stranger, and you had the wrath of God on your back. And if you don't remember that or think that's happened to you, then you're lost. It's as simple as that. You're lost, right? As a who, as a what? As a goose in a horse race, right? You're lost. I say this all the time on the street. There's only two types of people in the world, those that are saved, those that are lost. Which one are you? I just, right to the T, hit the nail right on the head. You're either lost or you're not. And I hope you are lost, because then you could be found. And then I go into the gospel for there. But that's what it says. Remember that ye, being in times past, Gentiles, verse 11, in the flesh. So I said that to say this is now back to Romans chapter 8, is you've been adopted into the family. And we cry, Abba, Father. We'll get into that some more in a minute. Back to Romans chapter 8. And let's look down at verse 16. Romans 8, 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If you have no witness to the Spirit of God, you're either so far away from God or you're lost. That's the only two choices. Yep. And a lot of Christians get so far away from God, they think they are lost sometimes. I deal with them all the time on the street. How low can you go? How far can you go? We can stand up right now and give testimonies. I won't do it, me included. You can get pretty far away from God, can't you?
Yep.
If you quit reading your Bible, you quit praying, you quit striving to have the heart of God and the mind of God, quit coming to church, how low can you go? Very low. Very low. Just as low as any lost person can go, a Christian can go just the same. There's no difference except for Jesus Christ, and you are saved. Amen. Look, the Bible says, Romans 8, 16, the Spirit itself bears witness. You know what? This verse comes alive on the street. Here's a quick illustration, and I'll move on to the next verse. Stand on the street and hold a sign. Don't even say a word. Just hold a sign, a scripture sign. You get one car coming by, giving you the bird, right? You know what the bird is, right? I'm not going to do it, but you know what the bird is, right? Up your nose with a rubber hose, right? There's the what the world thinks about your God. That's what the world thinks about Jesus Christ. They'll spit on him. The very next car, praise the Lord, brother, amen. What is that? What is that? That is a contradiction. You got insanity cussing you out, ready to come over and kick you in the mouth. And now you got someone else like, praise the Lord. You know what that is? That's the Spirit bears witness. When you're talking to somebody out in the street or on your job or wherever you go, you know what you get sometimes? You get this. Total opposition. That's your spirit bearing witness that they're not a child of God. There is no kindred spirit here. When I talk to Jehovah's Witness, it's like I got a cloud on top of my head. They're lost. Bible says in 1 John, they're the spirit of the Antichrist. Not only they're lost, but they're being led physically and literally by the Antichrist. That's, you know, I tell them that too. They don't appreciate that one bit. But it don't matter what they appreciate. They need to hear the truth. And I do it with love, of course. I don't foam in my mouth and spit on them. I tell them the truth. And I take their Bible out of their hand. I show them five verses where they're out of their mind because it actually contradicts what they believe in their Bible. You could do that if you study a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen. But the Spirit bears witness. When you talk to anybody, it doesn't take 10 seconds for your spirit to bear witness. You know what you see? Somebody that's arrogant. Somebody that's prideful. Somebody that might be humble. Right? It doesn't take you 10 seconds. You know what men do about bearing witness? You know the first thing a man does when he talks to another man, in the flesh that is, he starts sizing him up. Yeah, I could take this dude. Sure, I'll trip him. I could take this dude. Don't look at me like that. I know you think that. I don't care how old you are, right? And you're not old. I just happen to point that way, right? Or how young you are, how skinny you are, or how many. I'm just saying that's what you think. If you're a man, you start sizing the dude up. And you're like, yeah, I ain't worried about him. That's men. That's spirit of man. But with God, you start sizing up their spirit and trying to win their soul to the Lord. Amen. And that's what's important.
Yeah.
Verse 17. And if children, then heirs. I got a double microphone. Sorry about that. Heirs. You know what that means? You get an inheritance.
Amen.
Why would you get an inheritance when you don't do nothing?
Yeah.
How many, you know what Christians think? They think, I'm just going to live for myself. I could probably turn this off. Is it loud enough with this? What? The pulpit's not on? Is it supposed to be on?
No, you've got fire.
Okay. So I'm good, right? Keep going? Okay. I was, right? That's my brother-in-law. He's always going to say that stuff. All right. Where was I? Spirit bears witness. No, heirs. Now, why would you get an inheritance when you don't do anything?
Yeah.
You're going to give your kids $5 taking the trash out when they don't take the trash out?
Yeah.
No. You're going to whoop them. You're going to show them how to take the trash out, and then you'll reward them for doing good works.
Yeah.
You know what that is? That's a quick illustration, a very quick picture, a blunt statement about the judgment seat of Christ.
Yeah.
If you're not doing nothing, you think you're going to get a reward, you're not going to get squat. No. You're going to be ashamed when Jesus Christ comes. He's not ashamed. No. I know that he does his best. Yeah. And thank God for that. Bless Amen. You. And you know what? I want to do my best. Yeah. You know what that means? When you don't feel like going out there, go out anyway. Yeah. It's the little things. Yeah. Do opposite of what your flesh wants to do in service to the Lord. Amen. And for some people, that means don't smoke that cigarette. For some people, that means stay away from that booze. Yeah. For some people, that means throw the dirty book away and turn off the filth vision. Yeah. That's what it means for some people. Yeah. It doesn't mean that for me. Yeah. But I have other issues. Every dog has enough fleas just to know that you're still a dog. Mm-hmm. Just because you're looking at me and you got a suit on, I know you're still a dog because you're just like me, and I'm a dog. Yeah. But I'm a saved dog, and I thank God for that. The dog that yelps is always the one that gets hit.
Yeah.
That is right. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Verse 17. And if. Think about that. Why is the Bible always saying if this, if that? Well, I know I'm a child. I'm not doubting my salvation. Trying to get stirring you up in your mind to think because you got so much of the world and the slop vision and the slop book and Facebook and all that garbage in your mind that you cannot think clearly. And now some of you have been on drugs in here. Now I'm going to tell you this right now. Mike Collins might know the statistics more than me, but if you've been on drugs for any length of time, it takes years and years for your nerve cells to shed off those sheathings and everything else for you to be half normal. You can't think right because your mind and your body's been coated with synthetic drugs for years. You're out of your mind still. That's why a Christian will just snap sometimes and go back to the old ways because it's still in the mind. Amen.
Amen.
Errors. For some of you, you know what that is? You might get a reward for staying away from drugs the rest of your life. Amen.
Yep.
Because to me, I don't battle that. I just don't at this point in my life. It could happen. I know that. But I don't battle that. Some of you in here battle it every day. You look in the mirror and you're thinking about drugs. Some of you in here, maybe that's you. I don't know, but maybe. You know what that is? If you overcome that stuff, that'll be a reward that you'll get from the Lord. Because that's your battle. That's not my battle. You're giving your own specific battle to bring rewards to yourself through your service of Jesus Christ. Mine's different than yours. You don't compare yourself to me. I don't compare myself to you. The Bible says that's what? Not
wise.
Thank you. Not what? Someone's reading the Bible. Thank God. Not wise, right? That's it. That's it. But the Bible says, verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God. You proud of me? I didn't say hairs. I always tease my wife and I say hairs every time that verse comes. She's like, not that song, an idiot. I said, I don't care. And join heirs with Christ. You're a joint heir with Christ. Like, you deserve that, right? Yeah, right. You deserve to be joint heirs with Christ?
Yeah.
God sees you equal, spiritual? Yeah, right.
Wow.
Yeah, right. If. There's that word if again. If so be that we suffer. Oh, see, you're not off the hook. You're going to have to suffer a little bit. If we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know what, that most Christians, especially Christian radio, you might as well take suffering and just throw it right out the window because you won't even hear that kind of stuff on Christian radio. It's all positive. It's all syrup. It's all milk. It's all about you, and God just blesses me. I got to buy bigger barns and put junk in. That's the average Christian.
Yep.
The Bible says you're going to reign with him. You're going to suffer with him. That's what the Bible says. Suffering is conditional on rewards for Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means it's coming. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'll go out on a limb. If the Lord tarries much longer, another 30 years, some of you won't be around anymore. Maybe even sooner than that. Persecution is coming.
Yep.
I'm not saying we're going through the tribulation, none of that kind of garbage that's anti-biblical. I'm saying our forefathers have been persecuted. Look up the Colosseum in Rome and look at the stuff that they've already gone through. Don't tell me America can't get to that state. Look where we're at right now. We are so close to that right now that it's coming. And if it comes, you know what? You're going to get a bunch of spoiled Americans. I'm not wishing this. I'm not saying I'm tough. I'm saying if it comes, you're going to get a chance to really earn a reward called the crown of life. And what's the other one, right? The martyr's crown.
Yep.
Imagine that. I'm not saying I could go through that, but you might have an opportunity. The only way to get through that is to get into this book and get fed and get spiritually and get strong. Because listening to Christian radio, you're going to run like a sissy when real persecution comes. Because it's not real. It's no meat to that thing. You're going to be a little limp-wristed soldier. Or you're going to be like a Marine. Not just because I'm just saying they're the toughest ground forces. That's why I went to them. What are you going to do if we suffer? Now, as I look at this thing, A Christian has two ways for a good reward program. Here we go. Number one is be faithful unto death. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. You can be faithful unto death and lose your life for Jesus Christ. That's one way to have, make sure that you have a good reward, right? Somebody points a gun in your head, and that's it. You can't get to him. A smart guy would be back about 5 feet. I can't get to him. If he's closer than that, he's going to have his hands full. I'm just telling you. But a smart crook that's going to take your life is going to be away from you. And he's going to say, you denounce the name of Jesus Christ right now. What are you going to do? I think about that girl in Columbine. Yeah. You know what she did? This young girl had enough guts to take it for the Lord and say, no, sir. And she died for Jesus Christ. That's one way. Now, here's a lesser way. Is how about self-discipline in a Christian's life? I'd rather battle that way instead of taking one for the team.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you right now, another way for you to have a good reward program is for you to be a good disciple of Christ and to suffer a little bit in the flesh. Put your flesh down. The things that you enjoy, don't do them.
Yeah.
And do something for the Lord instead. And think about this. You've got your whole life to go, whether it's 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, or more. If you don't actively try to build up a reward system, you're not going to have nothing. You're going to be bankrupt when it comes to facing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to be ashamed. I don't want that for myself. I don't want that for myself. Look at 8:18. The next few verses, we'll move on here. We're going to be talking about the millennial a little bit. And these are a lot of different verses that's going to talk about that. Verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. You know, and it's going to talk about the whole, where's that verse at? Verse 20 says, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. And that gets a little deep right there in verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption. That's talking about our glorification. And not only us, only the whole creation. Look what it says. I'll finish the verse. Into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together till now. I was watching a video of some monkeys and a lion was coming up. I thought it was cool. I was showing my kids how a lion kills prey out in the wild. And it had a group of monkeys, and it's always like this. What kind of little babies. They're like, oh, they're so cute and all this stuff. And all of a sudden, here comes a lion. And guess what? The lion gets the baby. And the mama freaks out. And then the whole tribe freaks out. And it's like you feel like emotional. You're like, man, it's horrible. It's horrible. They lost their little baby. And they're all in distress and panic. The whole creation is groaning and travailing. But you know what happens? Turn your Bible to 11, Isaiah 11. It's going to change. The biblical law of change, it's going to happen. When Jesus Christ comes and rules and reigns in the flesh, guess what happens? The curse is lifted. And when the curse is lifted, some things happen. Look at this. And I'll close with this. I know I got to finish up. Isaiah chapter 11. Look down. Excuse me. In verse 5. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 5. And the righteous and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, Jesus Christ, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall lay down with the lamb. There has to be a change for that to happen. You ain't going to lie down a wolf and a lamb together without getting eaten up, right? It's different. And the leopard shall lay down with the kid, right? That's a goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together. And the little child shall lead them. What? A little kid's going to have to lead a lion around with a chain or something, and it's not going to eat him. He's not going to be afraid. Something is going on here.
Yeah.
That's in the millennial. Yep. And Paul is talking about that. He's hitting on that. And look what it says in verse 7. And the cow, sorry, Hindus, and the cow and the bear shall feed. How's that going to happen? Not on each other. They're going to go back to eating grass.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not talking about marijuana for some of you. I'm talking about this green stuff that comes out like weeds, right? Not this weed, but that weed, right? I got to be clear. In the day and age we live in, people are nuts. That's all they think about.
Yep.
Go down to Firefly, you'll see it in the flesh. That's all they do is just drugs, party, drugs, party, drugs, party. The Lord says something's going to change. Not only that, it says, verse 8, and a suckling child, it's a little baby, shall play on the hole of an asp. That's like a snake, like a cobra. And he ain't going to worry about getting stung and killed. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. That's like a rattlesnake as well. So you think about that. And there's going to be a change. Back to Romans chapter 8. Paul's talking about the creature and creation and the groaning and all the things that are happening. And remember a couple of verses ago, he was crying out, Abba, Father. Because if you're trying to, if you're ministering to people, especially out in the street or at your work, you're going to see people going through things, and you're going to start hurting, and you're going to start feeling the agony that they go through. And there's times where you're going to say, God, I don't know what to say. Just help them, God. That's crying out. That's the Spirit making intercession for your prayers. Well, we'll get to that too in just a little bit. Maybe next week as we close it up, I'll try to pack in one or two more verses. Okay, let's go down to Romans. So I kind of hit on those things. Verse 22, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth together. In 23, and not only they, but ourselves also. That's you, Christians, which have the what? First fruits of the Spirit. We can stop there. What a blessing. You know, the harvest has three parts, and we've got in. Thank God you got in. When I got saved, my missionary cousin at the time, he says, Joe, you don't realize it. You got in at the last moment. You got in. That's called the first fruits. You know what a Christian has? A Christian doesn't realize what he really has and what he really missed by getting saved. That's a blessing. Amen. I'll finish the verse and I'll be done. The first fruits of the Spirit, in the middle of the verse, even we ourselves groan within ourselves because of the surroundings, the drunks and the drugs and all this stuff, waiting for what? The adoption. There it is again. To wit, the redemption of our body. And I'll stop with this thought. I'll finish about 30 seconds. The redemption of our body. You still have to live in your body. Your body's not saved. How many of you can agree with me?
Amen.
Amen. I see those hands. Your body ain't saved. Your body wants to go against God. It wants to stick foreign substances inside. It wants to get high. It wants to do this, do that. That's your body. It's not saved. That's why it has to be what? Put on what? Incorruption. Because your body is like that pile of bones over there. And that's what's going to happen. Your body, in your flesh dwells no good thing. It's going to rot and it's going to fall apart. It's going to go in the ground. The life that we live now is a spiritual life that we live for Jesus Christ. Yeah. The weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal. But what? About the pulling down the strongholds, right? And that's what I love about this church is we got some men in here, right? And I appreciate the women and the children, but a church needs to run on manhood. Yeah. If it doesn't run on manhood, that's the Bible way. Right. You're not supposed to be effeminate. A man is supposed to be a bishop. A man's supposed to be a deacon. And that's what I love about this church. You got some men in this church that aren't afraid to stand up and be men for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. I pray you bless it. I pray you bless the rest of the services today, Father. I pray for all the Christians in this building, Lord. I pray you to give them what they need, some strength, Father. I pray you help them to continue on the battles that they have. I pray anyone's lost in here, Father, especially in the main service coming in, that you please would convict their hearts of sin and show them their need for salvation. I pray for our pastor. I thank you, Lord, for him, and I pray that you give him what he needs to say today. In Jesus' name, we love you, and we ask, amen. Amen.